Thank you and good afternoon. I'd like to give authorship to the co-authors in this presentation, Teresa Heaton, Christopher Hoff, Paul Kienert, and Tom Schlieder, and let you know I have no disclosures. Our outline today on branded messages is really to discuss what the purpose of a branded message is. Research shows that children as young as 2 can understand a brand and recognize a brand, what the rollout and usage of a branded message is, how to evaluate a branded message, what the future use of one is, and what were the lessons learned. King County is approximately 35 to 40 miles west of Chicago. It is a population roughly of 511,000 documented citizens, second and fifth largest cities in Illinois. It's a very, very busy place. So why develop a branded message? Well, as all of you remember during H1N1 and lived it, the information overload was extreme. On every single moment, it seemed like hourly, the messages and the information were changing. At the time, I was responsible for the Health Protection Division, and that had 3 units in it. It had the Environmental Health Division, the Communicable Disease Division, and the Public Health Emergency Response Division. And the information that we tried to garner and then put back out to the public was just really beyond our ability to do this. You had many different voices, really, but at the bottom, the end of the story, it was the same type of information, and people were interpreting it differently, and that they were getting it through different channels. So the goal that we had for this branded message is that we would have one consistent identity across all communication methods and voices at the local community level, because that's really all that we were able to be responsible for, and that that brand would identify credible sources of information. And really, this is the role of the local health department to be able to disseminate credible sources of information. So what was our rollout? We had a very large press conference that would introduce the brand and Stop the Flu, It Starts With You. This was prior to the CDC rolling out their brand. We did request support from all our community partners, especially the schools, the hospitals, and the clinics, and we got tremendous support from the schools and the hospitals. It was much more difficult for the large clinics in the King County area, especially because these large medical clinics are part of large hospital systems that are in other counties, and so they didn't really feel like they had the control that they needed to participate in this campaign. And this campaign was included on all of our H1N1 related communication platforms. Another strategy we used was public information coordination. So our public information officer was meeting regularly with the partners, the other PIO partners. This was relatively easy when you had a school district or you had a hospital where they actually had a public information officer on staff and designated responsibility. It was a lot more difficult when you started getting into large community players that really didn't have public information officers, and yet they had designated people, maybe a CEO, maybe somebody in a leadership role that they would have to send to be responsible for that public information. Probably our biggest success during this time period was that we had weekly healthcare coordination calls. So every Tuesday, our incident command team started the incident command week, and we met with all the hospitals and the federally qualified healthcare centers and the medical players every Tuesday morning, and that call went on for approximately 2 hours. And during that time, we were able to share all the information that we were getting, how we were interpreting it, what kind of direction we were giving the medical community, and they in turn then were able to ask us more specific questions. For example, you know, we had weeks and weeks and weeks of information around particulate respirator use. And so we were able to be very coordinated in our information out to the medical community on and directions on what to do. And in this region, we are part of the Chicago collar counties. We are part of a consortium of the 8 largest health departments in Chicago. And so we regionally were able to coordinate our public health PIO meetings. So this is an example of what the brand looked like. Now, you look on the far right where Stop the Flu, It Starts With You, Preventing the Flu Starts With You. That information under there is all the same information that the CDC was garnering for what groups should be getting vaccinated. This was the type of example where this is information that was the same information, everybody was receiving the same information, but the number of questions and people interpreting that was just phenomenal. So it's a good example of how you can take same information, consolidate it, push it back out in a branded message. At this time, we were still calling it, of course, swine flu, because this was early on in the pandemic when the mass vaccination clinics were just beginning in the fall of last year. In Spanish. This was our evaluation. One of the key things we did in this message campaign was that we did evaluation midstream. That is something that I would highly recommend. It's difficult when you're in the middle of a pandemic and a crisis, any type of emergency that's really occupying the bulk of your staff and operations team. But we garnered so much information from really taking that stop, let's do a midpoint evaluation, let's hear from the community, what do they have to say, are they getting the information, do we need to change our message? And this is an example of a clinic that was able to adopt our branded message, but this clinic is actually part of a larger hospital system that's outside of our county. So it's really a success, we felt, for our partnerships within our county. We did community surveying, and so you ask, why would you do community surveying? We really needed to get that local data. We had lots of data coming out of CDC. We had data coming out of the State Department of Health. We saw data coming from large metropolitan areas such as Chicago, and we really wanted our local data to tell us how we needed to refine our own message. And we really needed to look at what were the best ways to reach our residents, and then to use that data really to evaluate the impact and inform our future actions and maybe change our actions midstream. And actually what we did is we did change our actions. We conducted our mass vaccination clinics in the beginning in large high school gymnasiums. And after getting a lot of feedback and evaluation from the community, we ended up changing and conducting our subsequent clinics in baseball stadiums. We do have the luxury of having semi-professional baseball stadiums, and so we used the suites inside and developed a pod within a pod concept and ended up much, much more successful and having a much better outcome. So this was the methodology that we used in the surveying. We commissioned a company called American Viewpoint to conduct two surveys of our residents. American Viewpoint is, their current business is really polling. They were easily accessible to us at the time, and so and they were well acquainted with the Kane County market, so they were very convenient for us to use. A little non-traditional to use a company whose business was polling, but it worked very well for us. The first survey was conducted in September of 2009, right in the midst of really the right before the mass vaccination clinics were conducted, and then following up in April of this year when really H1N1 was starting to wax and wane. The margin error for the sample was plus or minus 4.9% at the 95% confidence interval, and the sample size was 400. The questions for the survey were developed by the health department, and they had input from the vendor. There were some yes-no questions, there were some categorical, there were open-ended questions. We had no more than 8 minutes, and 400 respondents were sought each time. So what were the key results? What was the summary here? It really gave us validation that we had an informed communication strategy, that we were moving in the right direction, and that our messages were really tailored to address the concerns of our residents, and that they did identify that we had guided dissemination strategies. It did give us some other data that was very important, was also the estimated vaccination rate in our county. So here's some examples. Question, where did you get most of your information regarding H1N1? And interestingly enough, if you look at the dark blue line, which is in April of this year, and the green line, which was in September of last year, still broadcast, major broadcast television stations are the major source of information that people were getting their information from. And interestingly enough, people really were not seeing their doctor as a major source of information, nor were they looking at our website as much as we wanted them to, or using social networks as much as we expected that they would have. Another question, how concerned were you about H1N1? And you can see that even after the fact, the residents still had a high level of concern. Even in the spring of this year, the most noticeable was that people having children at home and Hispanics were the most concerned. Did you read or hear any information from the King County Health Department or the Stop the Flu Starts With You campaign regarding H1N1 virus or vaccine? Again, the recall was higher among people who had children, school-age children, than those who didn't. We really felt like we did a good job disseminating the information, and this was validated by asking the question if people were satisfied or dissatisfied with the quality of the information regarding H1N1 virus that they had seen or heard from the King County Health Department. And as late as April of this year, where we anticipated that that number would go down, it didn't, so we were very pleasantly surprised. We really felt like we did a generally good job about educating people about the danger of the H1N1 virus and the safety of the vaccine, but we really were able to see through this evaluation process that there was still misinformation. And basically, it was mostly people concerned about side effects and not thinking that the vaccination was safe. It'd be interesting to take this data and now do an additional survey during the seasonal flu season, where H1N1 is a component of the seasonal flu vaccine this year, and see if the data similarly corresponds to concern about side effects and safety. We were still surprised that people were getting their health information from paid advertisements, and that the preferred method was still local newspaper, print, online, public service announcements on TV and radio. But we looked at the age group, and as far as local newspapers go, you can see that, you know, 55 and older are still very much looking at print newspapers, especially the local newspaper. And this, you know, frequently we think, certainly the newspaper industry has changed dramatically, and some of us have thought that it's just basically a dying industry, but this survey is showing that people are still relying on it to get their information. They also really don't want you to use their cell phone, so that wasn't a surprise at all. So what's the future? Yes, we're using this brand during flu season. We did implement it with all of our partners again this year. We don't restrict the logo at all, so anybody in our community can use it. Lessons learned, really, this is a great way to link multiple agencies with the same message. In the past, we've seen our hospitals go out and they've had, you know, their own campaigns, their own messages, and they've now turned to us this year and said, are we changing the brand? And the answer was no, it's the same brand. Also, that the polling data really can support your communication campaign decision making and give you really, really good evaluation data. And if you have questions, the expert in this arena is our executive director, Paul Kienert, although I'd be able to answer any of the questions that you have today. Okay. Any questions? You know what, it really actually went really fast. Our public information officer sat down, and I would say probably about 2 weeks.
So the survey, was that over the phone?
The survey was a phone survey. Yes?
In Connecticut, the delivery of H1N1 vaccine was very sporadic, uneven, and getting the message out to the public as to when it would be available. I don't see how you did. You have that problem?
We absolutely did have that problem. And what we ended up doing, unfortunately, it was exactly very similar to your experience in Connecticut, in that we ended up, the first survey was conducted in September. The first mass vaccination clinics were conducted October 26th. We had a whole schedule of mass vaccination clinics scheduled after that, and because of the delay of the vaccine, we ended up canceling them and rescheduling them like most everybody did. Most of that information had to go out via press releases and into the local newspaper. We also set up a 1-800 number where people could call in and get the information, like the up-to-date where and when you can get the vaccine. But interestingly enough, in the survey conducted in the spring of this year, the results really didn't show dissatisfaction, which really was another surprise, because I would have anticipated that to show as a significant, based on the experience we had verbally from people in the fall, where they were very dissatisfied verbally about the delay in the vaccine and the rescheduling of clinics. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.